98.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Erin Archam. More than 80,000 Victorian businesses hurt by the state's second coronavirus lockdown have been offered $5,000 in cash grants. Treasurer Tim Pallas unveiled the $530 million business support package today, including the grants, mental health support and specific funds for the hospitality and regional tourism industries.
This is a testing time for business. It's a testing time for us all. It is important that we do more than simply provide platitudes of support to the community. As a government, we are putting in place real, tangible efforts to assist the community.
New figures show Victorians made up almost half of all calls from across the country to mental health support services in the past week. Still in Victoria, and some residents in a public housing tower in Melbourne will be forced to remain in quarantine after 10% of the tower's residents tested positive to coronavirus. There are about 3,000 residents in the towers, and the other buildings either have zero or a small number of cases and will be rejoining the rest of the city in stage 3 lockdowns. Those still under hard lockdown restrictions will have some exemptions, with residents allowed out of their homes for medical treatment and supervised daily exercise. Australia's hotel quarantine system will come under the spotlight today when National Cabinet meets to review the nation's coronavirus response. There have been claims over the past week that security guards have spent time in close proximity to quarantined hotel guests and that invoices have been submitted for patrols that were never performed. Cabinet will also review inbound flights from overseas, with Melbourne no longer accepting international flights. It's prompted a review to find out whether the other states and territories can manage the extra workload. National Cabinet is set to discuss today putting a cap on the number of Australians allowed to return from overseas. Donald Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, is back behind bars after violating the terms of his early release from prison. It's been reported he'd refused the conditions of his home arrest, such as being unable to speak to news organisations or post on social media. It comes as the Supreme Court hands a win to New York prosecutors, granting them access to the president's tax returns. Cohen is serving a 3-year prison sentence for lying to Congress about hush money given to two women who claimed they had sexual relationships with Mr. Trump. The president had consistently denied the relationships and called the court ruling a witch hunt.
This is a political witch hunt, the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. It's a pure witch hunt. It's a hoax, just like the Mueller investigation was a hoax that I won. And this is another hoax.
A Western Australian government wildlife manager photographed posing with dead animals at a South African game lodge has been fired. Jewel Crossberg was recently appointed acting district manager in Esperance at the Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attraction. However, the department announced today Mr. Crossberg was removed from his position. Photos were posted on his Facebook page in an album labelled Business and Pleasure, showing himself posing with dead giraffes, zebras and elephants in 2010.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 15 degrees and it's cloudy. We had some fog this morning, medium chance of showers most likely from the late morning, and I can see them coming across the mountains right now on the radar. So, and by Monday, we're going to have some heavy rain, very heavy rain from Monday and Tuesday. Looking for the weekend and that report of the showers. Saturday, possible shower, 10 overnight to a top of 20. Sunday, possible shower, 7 to 19. Monday, showers, 8 to 17. And Tuesday, showers again, 9 to 17. And on Monday and Tuesday, reports of up to 20 to 40 millimetres of rain. And pretty sure it's going to happen. The moon is a waning gibbous with the last quarter on Monday, the 13th of July.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Sydney, Clarence Street approaching Market Street. Hazard of a gas leak. 2 of 4 northbound lanes closed, lane 1 and 2. So please stay away from Clarence Street and avoid that, which is going to get quite sketchy as they clean it up. Pennant Hills Road approaching Beecroft Road. A car breakdown, heavy traffic conditions, 1 of 3 northbound lanes closed. Oakhurst, Richmond Road at the M7 motorway on-ramp. Crash of a truck and a car. The site's cleared, but it's leaving some heavy traffic conditions as things get back to normal. And Lygnum, Joseph Street just past Amy Street. Crash of 3 vehicles, 1 of 3 northbound lanes closed. It's 6 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. Good afternoon, Mario. How are you?
Good afternoon, Darren. Please don't forget that chocolate because, you know, like to all our listeners, all Live 90.5, I want you to know that I'm trying to deliberately and purposely feed Darren Capes Davis because I don't want nobody to hijack him. I want him only for myself. So, you know, I'm gratefully and kindly offer him every Friday like a 6 kilos of chocolate. And on Monday, it's going to be way in. So, how was your day?
More kilometers on the bike. I'm going to ride all weekend now.
I need to start calculating how much you burn calories on the bike and then I can actually calculate how much more chocolate to enter, you know.
You can bounce me out. Look, but I want to lose 5 kilos.
You?
Yeah, so I can.
You're so scared,
get up
man.
The mountains faster.
Oh my God, that's what it's like. To all listeners online, 90.5 Business is Marion. Friday, midday to 2 p.m. We welcome you in the studio with the Darren and myself. And, you know, we'll take a short break. And as you know, the bad weather is coming very shortly. I'm not sure, Darren, he says Monday, but, you know, I wake up this morning, I saw the fog outside. Darren, I was thinking myself is like a horror movie. But it's a winter time. And Darren and I, we welcome you all on a live 90.5 FM Business with Mario. We'll take a short break and come back after the break to talk to you.
Alive 90.5.
I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you? I'm in Toronto and I got this view, but I might as well be in a hotel room. It doesn't matter cause I'm so consumed, spending all my nights reading texts from you. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you. I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you? I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you? I'm so sorry that my timing's off, but I can't move on if we're still gonna talk. Is it wrong for me to not want half? I want all of you, all the strings attached. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you. Everything means nothing, babe. I'm trying to move on, forget you, but I'll hold on. Everything means nothing if I can't have you. No, I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you?
is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. East Village, developed by Pace, is a mixed-use residential and retail precinct combining leading-edge apartments and a unique and vibrant urban marketplace. East Village has won numerous prestigious awards, including the 2015 Australian Development of the Year awarded by the Urban Task Force. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
The average person spends 44 minutes a day thinking about food. At OzHarvest, thinking about food is a full-time job because we're always looking for new ways to nourish our country and combat food waste and hunger. Every day, we rescue quality surplus food across Australia and deliver it to those who'd otherwise go hungry. And you can help. Every dollar donated to OzHarvest can provide two meals to people in need. Visit ozharvest.org. Thought for food.
This is your local radio station, Alive 90.5, keeping you up to date with local issues and events in the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas.
It's 12 minutes past 12. You're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
And Darren. And I'm glad that it's a Friday for one simple reason, because we have a tremendous guest on the show today. Unfortunately, our guest, she couldn't be with us in studio. However, she's with us online. Thanks to Darren Capes Davis, who make it sure that all our guests remotely be tuned into studio. To our listeners, inviting you, all of you, to come on our website, alive905.com.au. There is a button, stream now, and you can hear the show in your car, on your mobile, or your laptop, or whatever you're using, you know, remotely, digitally. And most importantly, if you have any questions while listening to the show, please, there is a contact us, the form, and Darren and myself will be happy to answer to you questions. Alive 90.5, it's your station, this station, and our show, it's your voice. Now it's time to introduce our guest. To all our Australians, we all know that Victoria, he's been again in the second lockdown for next 42 days, maybe less few days. Nothing better than have the guest in studio, and she's from Melbourne. But before we introduce our guest, and I say, like, it's a lovely lady, Joanna Love. I couldn't ask for a better guest today in the show. Reason for that, it is, regardless we are free or we are in our self-isolation in our homes, so we all have some life obstacles. You know, everything is beautiful when we have when everything pink and rosy, but it's a general after the war. But Joanna Love, our guest, she's going to help us, to all of us, including myself, how to avoid obstacles, to increase emotional well-being, and how effectively to set up the goals. Joanna Love, welcome to the Alive 90.5.
Thank you, Mario.
Joanna, yeah, look, I didn't want to read your entire bio, because it's like it's quite amazing, you know, from you were a successful Olympic medal winning coach. Joanna worked with many high-performance athletes, both Australia and internationally. She's a publisher and the author of the three books. So, Joanna, once again, thank you for coming with us in studio for the next 2 hours with Dan and myself. And for our listeners, we always have the practice to ask the question, you know, I mean, what's your PIN number on your credit card? But we skip that one. And tell us, how is it in Melbourne?
Oh, well, we're back in lockdown, as you know. And yes. I think we're now called the leper state, I believe, with the other state.
Look, it's like, I think that most Australians sympathize with Victorians. But, you know, being frankly, one thing is on a paper, in reality, like we in New South Wales enjoying the freedom. And, you know, I mean, I couldn't imagine being locked down again for 42 days. But, you know, I mean, but, you know, we can only complain about fog. But so, Joanna, for our listeners, who is Joanna Love?
Oh, I think you gave it away at the beginning. So I was an elite swimming coach, or yeah. I still am an elite swimming coach. I don't practice anymore. But okay. I don't coach swimmers anymore.
You don't coach anymore?
No, I don't coach anymore. I only help other people now. So my learnings from my days as a swim coach is what set me down the path to where I am now. I had a brilliant young athlete who was better than Michael Phelps. So hopefully your listeners all know who the great swimmer Michael Phelps was. Yeah, 23 gold Olympic medals. This swimmer was better than Michael Phelps. And one day he rocked up at the pool and said, I can't swim today. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't swim today? And he goes, the water's too blue. I can't swim today.
Really?
And I'm like, okay. Of course the water's blue. And I tried everything that I'd sort of been taught as part of my coaching career to get him in the pool. But, of course, his performance was pretty poor. And from there, his mindset just, he couldn't tackle. He had the obstacles that were in front of him with the performance expectations. And that sent me back down the path to do psychology. So now I'm a trained psychologist. Not a practicing psychologist, but a trained psychologist. And I probably got a hyper awareness of looking at athletes, young children, leaders, can see where they're going wrong. And I work to help them perform better every day.
So you're from the swimming coach to the coach of the many successful businesses, athletes, and sports people around the, in Australia and around the globe. That's very impressive. So how did you come? What was your first day when you come in the swimming pool? Do you remember? Do you remember that you were your first day you swam, and did you know your career is going to guide you there? You're going to be a swimming champion.
No. Something I always loved. I don't remember the first day. Actually, okay. No, I do. My mother reminds me of the story of my first day. So I learned to swim at a very early age. Both my parents were very sporty.
Yeah.
And I could swim 25 metres of freestyle at 3 years of age. And I, as a young child, I always wanted to swim with races with my sister, an older sibling. And I'd line up behind the blocks to swim, and every week I'd just throw a tantrum and wouldn't end up swimming. So my mother reminds me of that story every day. And part of the reason I wouldn't swim that race is it was, of course, it was at the old ocean baths in Newcastle, in New South Wales.
Are you born in New South Wales? Born?
Oh, I'm a Novocastrian, yeah.
Oh, okay. Darren, do you know where that is?
Novocastrian.
Newcastle.
Someone from Newcastle.
Oh, I didn't know this. Yeah. Listen, I apologize, Joanna, because it's like, I'm only 22 years in Australia, so I don't know everything, you know what I mean? please forgive me for not knowing. That's the reason I have a dad in the studio. He's very knowledgeable, and usually if you're in the studio, you're going to see I look at him in the eyes and ask questions, but now I can't because it's online, you know what I mean? So, like, I need to ask. So why did you move in Melbourne?
Oh, part of my family's movement. My father was an engineer and lived around the country.
You wish now you stay in New South Wales, don't you? Yeah, I know this. I know you like to do this. So, Joanna, I will ask a question. What happened to you? Like, when is this moment in happened to you that you decided to become a coach to others? You know, I mean, not to be just a swimming coach and Olympic queen and all this, but to be the coach to somebody else. What was the moment you decided to do this, what you're doing today?
I went on to swim quite at a fairly successful level. I was on the long time ago, 1976 Olympic squad. I didn't make it to the Olympics, but it was always a passion. And I did quite well at school. I got into medicine, but I really didn't enjoy it. And I dropped out and sort of went, well, what can I do? And it was the swimming that I was brought back to. So I became a swimming teacher and then moved on to coaching. And that's always been my passion. It's always my passion to help others to reach their potential.
That's a very responsible job, actually, being a swimming coach, because, we see that's a lucrative job, you know what I mean? And on the pools, coaches with let's just start with the little kids and, but when you go on the higher and higher, on a hierarchy of swimmers, you're coaching other ones to perform better. What was your biggest obstacle in transition from being the swimmer, become the coach? Did you ever have the obstacles you felt, you will not be able to perform somebody or somebody reached their results in the swimming?
There's always that pressure sitting in the back of your mind. Am I doing the right thing for the athlete? So that's always sitting there. I think my biggest obstacle when I first transitioned, I was wanting to get back in the pool and compete myself. I've always had that competitive nature, so I think that was the biggest obstacle. But yes, a lot of pressure to help your athletes and become, I think coaches in Australia have become very staid, and I think we need to be a little bit more innovative in what we do and look at things a little bit differently. And I think now's a great time to make this happen with everything that's going on. Athletes not being able to train properly.
Can you tell us what do you mean you can do more now and this time?
So I think for a long time we've, copied other coaches. This is the way we've got to do things. Yeah. And I think now that we've got restricted training hours and restricted training groups, it's a great opportunity to try new things and see what we can do and what changes are going to work. Because, some of these athletes, like Victorians, for example, some athletes won't have trained for 6 months.
Yeah, it looks, I was reading to the newspapers and, before we start the show, Darren and I talk about current news, and I saw that I think the basketball, netball in Victoria cancelled for the rest of the year all competitions. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we should stop train and find different ways. But, in all honesty, New South Wales, we had this for 3.5 months, and the first month everybody was, Joanna, must be honest with you, and Darren, and I always said to Darren, I truly believe that everybody in New South Wales was preparing for the Olympic Games, for the marathon, because every morning, every afternoon, everybody was walking. As the time passed by, less people are still on the street and exercising. Do you can tell us why people start hard and then they stop, or wind up, they, not just exercise, but they passion or desire to continue what they started very hard?
That's a really interesting question, actually. And we had the same question.
I know, I'm a very interesting man. And Darren, he just brought me this question right now, so I'm just joking.
So the reason, like any fresh start, so the 1st of January is always deemed a fresh start in our mind.
Yeah.
So we're locked away for, we were told, 4 weeks we were going to be locked down for. So in our mind, that's a fresh start. What can I do as a fresh start? Hey, I don't have to go to work. Now's an opportunity for me to go out and do a bit of exercise that I haven't necessarily done and change the way I do things. And if we don't, what generally happens is if we don't set our goals correctly, that's when we become unstuck, and that's when it's really easy to deviate and fall off the pathway. So that's why you saw that mad rush at the start and then it sort of teeter off towards the end.
Yeah, look, it's like, I don't have that experience. It's like I'm very young in Australia for 22 years. But, my background's a little bit different, and everything what I was doing in my life, I was expecting for me to be done. And it was a different hierarchy, discipline, army and diplomacy and everything else. But, setting up the goals is very important for everybody. But before we continue, Darren, we should take a little break, and Joanna, she can have the sip of water, deep breath. You're listening online, 90.5 Businesses with Marion, our guest online, Joanna Love, and we'll continue after a short break. Joanna, stay with us.
Live 90.5.
Unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you just things to me never before has a someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forever. evermore. That's how you're gonna stay, baby. And that's why, darling, it's incredible. Someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. And that's why, darling, when you hold that I am unforgettable too.
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Chambers Cellars Winston Hills, proudly independent cellars, has a wide selection of wines from Australia's unique wine regions, as well as local and international beers and spirits. Pop in and meet Mark and the team, who will give you the best advice at the right price. Open 7 days a week, Chambers Cellars, your local cellars for all your entertaining needs and for relaxation. Chambers Cellars, station sponsor.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
Minutes past 12, 16 degrees, Business Insights with Mario and Alive 90.5. And we're talking to Joanne Love. And Joanne, I've just thought of a question that came to mind when you're talking about working as a swimming coach and now as a coach for people. What did you bring from coaching swimming forward, and what hasn't worked for coaching people? So what's unique and what's
That's
different?
That's a great question, darling, yes.
It is a great question. To be honest with you, I don't think there's any difference whatsoever. In fact, I think athletes are more open to a lot of things than other people are, because they want to have that little bit more edge over their competitor, so they're prepared to try things that are a little bit different, whereas the normal person is a little bit more closed mind in that respect. They're a bit worried about some of the things that you might suggest for them to do. They don't understand the strength of the mind and what it can do and how powerful it is in the decisions that we make.
So can the difference be that an athlete wants to win, but not every person understands their own desire to succeed in their goals? Is that something to have a think about?
So true, yeah. And so great examples in the workplace. Often the younger generation go into jobs because it's what they should do, very similar to myself when I started medicine. You know, I've got a good mark. It's something you should do. But what is it that you really want to do? So, you know, sometimes we're living other people's lives rather than our own lives. So we're not winning for ourselves, so to speak. We're winning for other people, and that becomes tiring after a while. So that probably explains why so many people in their 40s want to undergo career changes, because they really want to do something that they'd like to do.
Well, that resonates very well with me. I'm an engineer through and through, but now I'm just thinking I'm really finding my passion when I'm 47, and that's on radio.
Mm. A big part of the population are doing that as well.
Darren, he just opened a can of worm, and my question is actually relating what Darren asked you. Why do people love to live the life of others? I know, understand that there is some boundaries in life. You know, I say from my experience, you know, when I was a kid, you know, my parents told me, you know, just quickly, you know, just finish primary school and become the you know, I mean, garbage collector. And I mean, just this is for you. You're going to achieve this because you're never going to be like a Darren or like Joan. And you know, I mean, you know, that was a fact. You know, I mean, that's what my parents' expectations was. And as you're growing up, society started grooming you, how you need to dress yourself, how you need to behave yourself like everybody else. I understand there's some part of the life, we need to have the features here. I mean, you don't go on a meeting, you know, I mean, in shorts, you know, I mean, in the flip-flops. You know, you need to pronounce, say things better, not like Mario Beckers, but mostly we're copying somebody else. And last, maybe I would say 10 years, maybe I'm like Darren now, John, you know, social media influencing us, and we start living lives of the others. Why is that? Because somebody wants to have a six-pack like Mario Becker or somebody else. Or why are we living the life of the others?
Oh, we're heavily influenced by others, and the influence generally comes from parents. So it's in those vital teenage years where our choices aren't fully developed, and it's very easily to be very easy to accept what the parent tells you to do. So that's a very strong point. The other point is when we see people around us that we really admire and we want to be like them, and some of the choices we make are not necessarily about what's best for us. It's about trying to copy, as you say, the clothes that we wear, what other people are doing. So those influences have a big bearing. And the other thing that happens is, you know, if we're told we're good at something, our ego takes over. And that's when we, you know, underestimate our ability and overestimate, you know, the skill that's required to do the job, and we don't do what we really need to do.
Yeah, it is, because society, it is very judgmental. And I mean, we all can, as I say, on a paper, everything looks beautiful and pink and rosy, and people agree about everything what should be done on day-to-day, you know, I mean, lives of everybody. However, privately, behind closed doors, we are very judgmental. And I'm a long run of this, young, others say I'm not. However, you know, through some events in my life, I decided to say, like, look, I can't be like everybody else. You know, I mean, this is not me, because it doesn't work for me. I mean, it doesn't mean I become a bad person, like, you know, being nasty person, but it's like I need to develop or sharpen my own skills and be in public who I am, because I'm that's most comfortable. However, more or less, people expect to you walk and talk as they want to be done. And when I do this, because it's expected from me to do so. Now, social media, what do you think about social media? How much social media actually influencing us under all these beautiful filters, like when I put my pictures?
Probably too much. Social media has huge bearing on our life. The younger people, dramatically so.
Yes.
And I think what Instagram did when they took away the number of likes was a fantastic.
Oh, yes, yes, that's so true, yes. But that's only for Australia. That's only for Australia and USA. Other countries still can see how many likes do have.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Wow.
I think that's really important to take away those likes and let us live our own lives, not revolving around what other people think about us. And I think that's a really good lesson and something that we generally learn as we get a bit older, that what do we really want to do in life? A really big question, that what are our values? And values are really important. You know, the young today, you know, in our era, Mario, you know, we wanted to think of a career to go forward with. Now young people say their biggest career choice is to be rich and famous. So what does that mean? You know, they've got no idea what they really want to do. They're rich and famous, could be millions or trillions of things, but nothing defined. And it's that wishy-washiness that I believe is causing a lot of the mental health issues.
Joanna, you're causing the friction in the studio, you know that, because Darren and I, we are smacking each other, you can't see us, because, you know, he has no questions for you. He's just punching me, I'm punching you, because we want to talk to you, Joanna. So we're going to extend our radio show with you till midnight tonight with you.
we could do. But Joanne, I was just thinking about, is it that say the younger generation may have a lack of goals and they don't understand the power of having goals to drive what they want to achieve. Do you have more insights there?
Generally, the majority, and I'm probably generalising a little bit here, but the majority do not have goals. They don't, so that, you know, goals help drive our identity as well. So to complicate all of this, you know, the latest fashion is your children aren't necessarily a he, she, now they could be an it. So,
oh, well, that's a horror movie. Isn't it a horror movie, or did I misunderstand something?
So I'm sorry, Mario, I may be a little bit controversial today, but yeah, I think a lot of not knowing who they are, how can they have any goals if they don't, first of all, they don't know who they are and they don't know what they want. And I, part of my university qualifications and degrees, I did a research project on goals. And what I found was that people that do not have goals are more prone to mental health issues than those that do have goals. And how they set their goals has a big bearing on that level as well. So there's, you know, what we found is when people set really effective goals, they had really good mindset. They knew what their obstacles that, you know, would possibly show up as part of their goal setting process. They were able to overcome them, but it was also linked to their innermost desires. And when goals aren't linked to your innermost desires, that's when a lot of issues come about with mental health. And the way we go about rewarding ourselves for those goals has a big bearing as well. So if we reward ourselves for goals, we activate a chemical, a neurotransmitter called dopamine. And dopamine has been linked to Parkinson's now. If you're low in dopamine, they're saying that there's a high risk that you'll get Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. Low dopamine's also been linked to depression. So, you know, it's really important that we set goals, we set them well, and that we reward ourselves when we achieve those goals. But also the way we set them, if we set them really well, we don't achieve those goals. We're more reflective. We can get up and go, okay, I know what I've got to fix. I can move forward rather than, you know, falling down that rabbit hole and oh, I didn't make it. I'm depressed, you know, and all that. So to me, I think goals have a huge influence on our life and we've got to use them more often.
Joanna, thank you very much for this. And before Darren asks you a question, I just like with something comes from me, and as I said, like I'm not the expert in being coach or business coach or life coach, but I will say something through my personal experience. I met a lot of people around me, maybe past 10 years as I run in my two businesses, and I got many tips and advice, you know, I mean, which I didn't ask for, you know, I mean, and the one thing now, as you spoke to our listeners online, 90.5 to how many we have this very moment, 2.7 million listening right now across the globe and in the space, the quality of conversation with you is different, and I would like to invite many business coaches actually to talk to you first before they become business coaches, because truly I believe that there's so many gurus down the market, so-called gurus, and playing with a very very dangerous word like emotional intelligence NLP selling the fear. And this is the very first conversation Mario Beckes has on this radio station with somebody who says the things that should be said. But now I'll let you, Darren. I mean, that was a credit to you, Joanna. That's all I tried to say. Thank you. So, Darren, you have a question.
Oh, I just was following up on those goals. So one of my goals is to understand for the current era and the listeners, how do we actually reset our goals with things happening around us, like with COVID-19, that we can't predict, we can't act too much, and does it change how we should be setting our goals and how we should be desiring to achieve them?
Well, firstly, you know, when we set goals, there's got to be things that we can control. So, you know, I don't know if you remember the film clip of Susie O'Neill, the swimmer that didn't watch her race for 20 years, and then she watched it and they filmed it on TV and she was crying and she didn't win. So when athletes should really never set a goal for winning, because you can never tell how another athlete's going to perform. What you can do is you can set a goal around a certain time that you can swim at or you can run at. That's something you can control. So when we set goals in this really uncertain time, your goals need to be around something that you can control. So, you know, strange times, we don't know, you know, will we come out of lockdown in 6 weeks? what can you control in those 6 weeks? What are the goals that you can set in those 6 weeks? But what I also want to say is really what's happening now, there's no difference. So the goalposts have basically just moved forward. So what's happening now is going to happen again in 12 months. The Olympics, for example, have been wiped off the lot for this year. But now they've moved them forward in 12 months' time. So all we have to do is just move that goalpost. And it's fine to move goalposts. That's totally acceptable. But what we need to
understand that's very unusual what you did say. And as I said, like, you know, in my earlier little blurb, you say the goals should be set up around something you can control. That is a very, very, very important people understand because, okay, may I ask you something for the friend, you know what I mean? His name is Mario. Is a daydreaming a love, is a daydreaming a love for the other person like myself?
Sorry, repeat that.
Is a daydreaming acceptable for the men of my age? Because I still have the daydreaming, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like sometimes I think myself, okay, when I pick up my very first book, it was called You Can Do It, Paul Hanna. I just come across that book, you know, it just happened to me. I you know, walk in library and he says in that book, you know, he take it metaphorically from the movie Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner. And he says, if you build, they will come. And I said, like, if I build a business, they're going to come. So start dreaming, you know what I mean? And I suddenly start, you know what I mean? When I talk about goals, I start dreaming about my goals. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I close my eyes, you know what I mean? And then before, you know what I mean, Darren punch me in my face, you know, wakes me up, you know what I mean? But the reality is, I do still daydreaming, you know what I mean? And is this something, would you say, like, it's okay? Or would you say, like, Mario, you need to see Joanna Love and get some pills?
No, hats off to you. You should be dreaming. And I think everybody should be dreaming.
I'm jumping for happiness, Joanna. Thank you so much. It's okay.
And the bigger the dream, the better. So, you know, the statement that I use with my people, if people are laughing at your dreams,
yes,
they're big enough.
Well, so, thank you very much, Joanna. Yeah.
Yeah, so just remember that. But with that also comes the visualization that you talked about, you know, the actual seeing it in your mind. Now, the mind actually can't differentiate between the real and the imaginary. So if you can dream really specifically with sights, with sounds, with how it feels, even how it smells, the brain's going to take over and think it's real. And it's going to start acting like that. And Darren asked the question about, you know, the strange times at the moment. You know, we should be thinking about our future self. We're always think about ourselves as the past, what we've done in the past. Oh, we couldn't do that, or we could do, you know, a lot of what we do, we're guided by our past. Seeing ourselves in the future, visualizing ourselves where we want to go, we start making choices unknowingly towards those big dreams and those big goals, because the brain starts to think that's what's got to happen. There's a little thing in our brain called the reticulation activating system. RAS is its short name. It acts like a Google search filter. And what it basically does, there's so many things going on in the world, it sort of defines the view. So if we visualize something and we're dreaming for something, we know what we're going for, the brain singles out all those opportunity and just focuses and just filters on those things you want and gets rid of all the rubbish that we really don't need to know about. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever gone to buy a car and all of a sudden you see all the car ads everywhere, and yet you never saw anything before that.
That is correct. You know, before we let you for the break, and I know Darren and I, you know, have the question to ask. My little life, you know, has a very some serious, you know, historical, you know, I mean, behavior, wars, and you know, I mean, I've been done things like most of men would be, you know, can see the movies. However, I always have the dreams, you know what I mean? I never dream I'm going to be in a radio station. Now, we talk about dreams, imagination. You said something very important, that people should dream, and, you know what I mean, bigger dreams, that's better. However, society is very judgmental. And when you mention somebody, like, you know what I mean, we should dream, why do other people perceive this as a laughing stock? If I may ask you this before we take the break. I'll tell you from my experience. It's like I know be a laughed, you know what I mean, not by many, because I'll punch them in the face. But the bottom line is, somebody asked me, how did you achieve this? It's like, I don't know, I just dream, I just wanted wish, you know what I mean? And I know how it happened, was a process. And, you know, I was getting reply, dreaming it's for the kids, you know what I mean? And profession like you or an expert like you, you still say, you know, you said bigger dreams, that's better.
Yeah, definitely. But you should also support it with smaller dreams as well. But one thing I wanted to tell you about is a story in South Korea. They actually put people in coffins. And while they're still alive, at about 45 years of age, people paid to do this, and they lock them away for about an hour. And that shock to their system is like, oh my God, my life's finished. They start thinking about the things that they really wanted to do in life. And that's when their dreams become really big, and they get out of there and they pursue those things. And they've found that the success rate from people doing this activity is just phenomenal. So,
No, I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, like excited what you're saying. I mean, because of so many questions. But Darren, you want to say something to Joanna?
Maybe time for a break, and then we'll come back keep exploring the idea of sitting in a coffin for an hour. You're listening to Business Insights with Mario. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Joanne very shortly.
Alive 90.5. Is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centered on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Royal Shores, developed by Pace, is a new waterfront community in Parramatta. Set right on the waterfront at the gateway to Sydney Harbour, Royal Shores is one of Pace's most unique urban developments to date.
Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1800 009 292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1800 009 292.
Station sponsor.
You are listening to Alive 90.5, serving the Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas since 1992.
Nine minutes to one, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario.
Darling, thank you very much for this great introduction. With us in studio, I will be more precisely online, thanks to Darling Cabbage Davis. It's a world expert, Joanna Love, and she is truly expert talking about goals, about our mindset and, self-belief. So, Joanna, before we take the break, we spoke about dreams, bigger, they're better, but tell me something. Darling started talking to you about goals, and if I may ask you, why we shouldn't underestimate the power of the goals?
Because, as I said earlier, the mental health implications are very important. In the business world, we hear about all these staff being disengaged with working, and half the reason that they're disengaged because they're not involved in what the company's goals are. It's the people at the top make these goals. They yes. say, right, you need to do this work. So they're like, well, why am I doing this? I don't understand. If we can work as a team when we set goals in businesses, you'll find that your employees are a lot more engaged and work with you to achieve that outcome. And so I think, you know, goals are vital to bring teams together. To bring, you know, just individuals to pursue things in life that they really want to do. But, in the business environment, it's so important.
Would you suggest anybody, somebody comes to you with a predicament and say, listen, John, this is all beautiful, I was working before the COVID-19, because COVID-19 truly and it's created challenging times for many, particularly mentally, I must say, including myself, you know. I mean, I started first month walking, the second month I start walking with Nutella, then I start sitting with Nutella in my chair. But the point it is, before COVID-19, you know, there was a practice, what you're saying, you know, I mean, empowering teams and coaching them and everything else. Now, during the COVID-19, people lost their jobs, for example, and they're going back on the workforce, and somebody comes to you and says, Joanna, you know, this is all beautiful, but I don't believe nothing anymore, because that was surprisingly for me. I lost a job because of COVID-19. What would you tell this person when he says, I don't want to work on my goals because of the, not just COVID-19, but some situations similar like a COVID-19 or anything in the future?
Yeah. So to me, it's really important to have a positive mindset. So, you know, we've heard the phrase that is your glass half full or half empty? When we look at things half empty, we set off stress processes within us. And it's like this feedback loop occurs that, you know, we doubt our ability to do things in the future. We start to get symptoms. Tiredness is a big symptom of stress. And everybody's different with those symptoms. So one, they've got to recognize that they are negative and they really need to work on turning that around and grasping the positive. So, as I said, I work in the sporting arena. So what can we do to grasp positives in the sporting world? Well, we've encouraged our staff to learn different things outside of the environment that they're usually in. So listen to talks on mindset. Listen to talks on awareness to help them learn new skills that's going to be positive for them in the future. And I think a lot of parents have realised this as well with the homeschooling episode with their kids. Having to deal with their kids and homeschooling was a nightmare for many. And now they've got a better, they like teachers a lot better because they can understand some of the things that they've been going through. So there's a shining light there for teachers that they're recognised in a higher light now. So what are the positives? Start thinking about the positives and write them down that this may have shown. And just even last week before we went back into lockdown, you know, I wrote a quick piece about, you know, we survived the lockdown in Victoria and you guys survived the lockdown in New South Wales. You've got through it. So you persevered. You're mentally strong already. You did it. So, you know, give yourself a pat on the back for what you've accomplished. Remember those positives of those things you've done and put them to good use. Don't just sort of deflect them and go, oh, yeah, you know, that was nothing. But, you know, Victoria, we're back into lockdown again. We survived the first one. We can survive the second one. We've just got to be positive about it and change that mindset. And that's really, really important. So there's a lot of research done on mindset and how we view things. And they call it the placebo effect for the mind.
Yes.
A great example was they were given two groups of people at Yale a stress conversation. In one conversation with the group of the students, they said that stress causes problems. It was hard. In the other group, they told the group that stress helps you perform better, puts you in the right frame of mood. And at the end of the treatment, and they did it a couple of times each week for a few weeks, mm-hmm. at the end of the treatment, the guys that were told that stress was good performed better in their exams than the group that didn't. And they enjoyed their work a lot more. So you know, we just need to think about our mindset. And is it negative? And what can you do to make it positive?
Look, I think that, you know... It's absolutely right. I mean, again, I come back to my experience because on radio, you know, I don't like to quote other people, but it's like during the war for these 8.5 years, you know, the stress is present and everybody react differently on the stress. And this situation is not a war. It is something different. And, yeah, we are locked in the house, homes, but I'll say Victorians only at this stage. And everybody should listen to this conversation with Joanna Love today on a live 905.com.au, because this podcast with Joanna Love is going to be available to all of you to listen, and then you can draw your energy empowerment from this conversation. Joanna, we'll take a short break. How long, Darren?
We've got the news coming up and weather and traffic, and be back to it.
Stay with us. Live 90.5 Business SM Mario. With us is Joanna Love from Melbourne Online, and we'll be back in 10 minutes.
Alive 90.5.
Here's Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hills Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Concise Finance is a nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
Hi, this is Graham Davidson inviting you to a journey with me on the Soul Train on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on Alive 90.5 for the best in soul, R&B, funk, southern and jazz rock sounds. The Soul Train on Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
My name is Bernie, and I'm a prostate cancer specialist nurse. Right now, my patients are struggling. Some have low immunity. Many are all alone. And I'm worried about their physical and mental health during this COVID-19 pandemic. Will you please help me look after them?
Keep prostate cancer nurses like Bernie on the front line of care. Become a prostate cancer Blue Hero today. Go to blueheroes.com.au now to find out more. That's blueheroes.com.au.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shannon Kirkwood. The opposition says the absence of a strategy for jobs is creating uncertainty across Australian communities. Opposition leader Anthony Albanese has today called on the Morrison government to provide clarity on how it plans to maintain jobs and